You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back, Buffalo Bills fans. It's Matt Warren, editor-in-chief of BuffaloRumblings.com and host of Buffalo Rumblings Q&A. This is our last Q&A podcast before the legal tampering period opens as part of free agency. It's the last podcast for Buffalo Rumblings Q&A before the collective bargaining agreement is voted on or finished voting on by the players. There's a lot of stuff that's going to happen between now and next time, so we're going to have a lot of questions jam-packed into this episode to get that off the table before free agency tampering opens. As always, you can call in your questions at 716-508-0405. Tweet us using Rumblings Q&A. That's with the word and spelled out in the middle. Facebook messages, Twitter messages, Instagram messages. You can email us at buffalorumblings@sbnation.com. Lots of ways to get in touch with the show and ask your questions about all the players that the Bills agree to contracts with in the first couple days of free agency. Let's get to it. It's our free agency preview. Before we start talking about potential free agents, the Bills have made a couple moves this week. The first being the signing of Josh Norman to a $6 million deal for 1 year. Josh Norman was, of course, with Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean in Carolina. The Panthers famously gave Norman the franchise tag, then rescinded it before he signed his massive deal with Washington and spent 4 years in the District of Columbia. But Ron Rivera came to town. And one of his first moves was to cut Norman because he was being overpaid. And that makes sense. But the Bills getting him as their number two cornerback at $6 million a year makes a ton of sense. He's not going to be asked to be the main guy. He's going to be back in Sean McDermott's zone-based scheme. So that makes a ton of sense. I actually really like the signing for the Bills as a way to push Levi Wallace, as a way to solidify that second cornerback spot. It probably means Kevin Johnson is gone, but that's okay. The Bills have made a habit of collecting cornerbacks over the last several off seasons because they know someone's going to get hurt or someone's going to underperform or someone's going to retire in the middle of his second game as a Buffalo Bill. So they have that depth built in. And I think Norman's a very good signing for this team at this point in time, because if he plays even like 80% of his all-pro year, he'll be a solid addition to the Bills secondary. He doesn't need to be a leader in the room. They've got Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer in the defensive backs room. They've got Tre'Davious White in the cornerback room, who's going to be the lead voice in that room. So I really like the signing of Norman for the Buffalo Bills, even if he did underperform for Washington in 2019. Also, on Tuesday morning, the Buffalo Bills picked up the 2020 option of Spencer Long's contract. He's going to make somewhere in the neighborhood of $3 to $3.5 million to be the Buffalo Bills' depth option at center and guard. That's what he was last year when Mitch Morse was hurt. He was the one that filled in at right guard with John Feliciano stepping over into the center role. And he did fine in that role. I'm glad that they have a guy that could capably start if they needed him to. Right now, they have an opening at left guard. So maybe Long fits in there as, you know, the last ditch effort at the starting left guard position if they want to keep Cody Ford out at right tackle. And at the bare minimum, you're going to see Spencer Long as the starter at left guard. More realistically, the Bills are going to add more players either via free agency or the draft that could fit into that role. And Long's going to be your interior depth lineman, which I'm perfectly happy with. And I'm perfectly fine paying $3.5 million, especially with Mitch Morse's injury history. Two other quick roster moves. The Bills exercised their exclusive rights free agency tender option on wide receiver Robert Foster and cornerback Levi Wallace. Both of those guys can certainly play in the league. I mean, Wallace might be your starting cornerback week one, and they get him for a league minimum contract. Because both of those guys have only been in the league for 2 years, they get to extend a league minimum contract, and those two guys can't sign with any other team. This is the last year for both of them as exclusive rights free agents. They'll have to go to restricted free agency next year when the conversation becomes a little bit more of a bigger number on that contract. And like, you're looking at Isaiah McKenzie this year. Is he worth $2 million as a restricted free agent? Probably not. Is Robert Foster? No, but at the league minimum, those guys make a lot more sense. The other thing that Sal Capaccio reported from WGR was that the Bills were looking into the exclusive rights free agent status of Jason Kroon, the tight end who was injured last year. He played in 2018 and was on injured reserve in 2019. Those would be his two accrued seasons, but they're trying to figure out if he has another accrued season, I guess. If his time on the Buffalo Bills injured reserve and practice squad in 2017 counts as an accrued season, he would be a restricted free agent, in which case he's probably gone or signing a league minimum deal. But if the Bills can tender him and automatically get him for that league minimum contract, I'm sure that's what they would rather do and bring him back to training camp in their offseason program on a league minimum deal. He's not going to get a ton more than league minimum on the open market, I wouldn't think, but the Bills are clarifying their position with him right now. That'll be cleared up by the end of the weekend, and we'll see if he's tagged, or tendered rather, as an exclusive rights free agent, which means the Bills would get his services for the 2020 season at the league minimum. Those are the questions I'm getting a lot early on in this week as we head like a barreling freight train towards the opening of free agency. The Bills have pretty much set the table for that with these signings, other than the Kroon thing. And we haven't really seen them release any veterans yet, but that probably won't happen until after the CBA is voted on Saturday night into Sunday and Monday. The Bills have a couple days of wiggle room into that free agency period because they don't have to pay their roster bonuses until the third or the fifth or sometimes the seventh day of the new league year. So they have a little bit of wiggle room before, say, a guy like Trent Murphy's bonus would be due, and they can release him before they have to pay that. Let's get to your questions now. And Paul Emborski sent us an email to buffalorumblings@sbnation.com. It says, I know it's a one-year deal, but I could see Josh Norman moving to safety if he re-signed long-term, and we need depth there. Didn't we move Troy Vincent from cornerback to safety after we signed him from the Eagles back in the day? Great signing, can't put a price on veteran experience. Yes, the Bills moved Troy Vincent to safety when he did sign with the Buffalo Bills back in the day, but that was a long time ago. Let's see here. That was 2004, so 16 years ago now. That's a long time. Norman is going to play cornerback for the Bills. He's on a one-year deal. He probably will be on one-year deals for the rest of his career unless he signs a little two-year deal. But it's not like he's looking for big money or signing like a super long extension. He is pretty set at that cornerback position right now. I do like the idea of having a veteran in the rooms, a guy that understands Sean McDermott's defense and his position in it, but I don't see him necessarily moving to the safety part of the equation, even if he does resign. Thanks for your question over at buffalorumblings@sbnation.com. Our Twitter question of the week comes from Ian Carmody, who asks us, would the Bills sign Tom Brady for a one-year deal for $30 million and let Josh Allen learn from him? Well, Brandon Bean was asked this question earlier this offseason, and he pretty much put the kibosh on it, saying, I don't think Tom Brady would be happy being a backup quarterback or something along those lines. If the Bills sign a quarterback, it's going to be a guy that's behind Josh Allen. They've put all their eggs into the Josh Allen basket, and putting him back on the bench isn't going to teach them anything. Because at the end of this season, it's the end of his third year, they're going to have to figure out whether they want to give him the fifth-year option and or whether they want to think about extending him long-term. So they really need to get a sense of what Josh Allen can do on the field in year three of his rookie deal. Signing Tom Brady doesn't help them do that. And as much as, you know, he might be an upgrade over Josh Allen, we're building towards a future here, and I don't see where Tom Brady would fit into that future. I don't have a problem with Tom Brady the person. I think he's a super talented quarterback. I think he's very good at what he's done and always has done, but I also don't think he would be a good fit on this team at this point. If Tom Brady goes anywhere, he's going to start. He's going to make $30 million. He's going to be the guy, whether it's in New England or Las Vegas, or anywhere else where he ends up. Tennessee has been the speculation with his old buddy Vrabel as the coach. So there's a lot of places he could land. I do not see Buffalo as being one of those places because they've invested so heavily in Josh Allen and building around Josh Allen, and they need to figure out if they want to invest more in Josh Allen. It's just as much about the future as it would be about 2020. They have to figure out what they have. They have to figure out what he has to work on. And more importantly, if they want him to be working on that in Buffalo as opposed to for somebody else in the NFL. I understand the question. I understand why people are talking about Tom Brady every once in a while. But it just doesn't seem like it would be a fit in Buffalo because he would be behind Josh Allen. And there's no way that Tom Brady is going to sign with a team to be a backup quarterback. Thanks for your question, Ian, over on Twitter at RumblingsQ&A. That's with the word and spelled out in the middle. We do have a list of potential backup quarterbacks that the Buffalo Bills could sign. It's part of our last day looking at potential holes on the Buffalo Bills roster, and that dropped all on Tuesday. We looked at Matt Barkley's 2019 season, how he played in relief of Josh Allen. We took a look at some NFL draft options at the quarterback position to come in and play that depth role that they were kind of hoping Tyree Jackson might play last year, but did not pan out. We also took a look at free agents that are going to be available from around the NFL at the quarterback position that could come in and play that mentorship role. It's just one of the things we've been doing at Buffalo Rumblings to get you ready for this offseason, taking a look at pretty much every position on the roster to see where the Bills can upgrade and how they can change. You can check all of those position groups out over at our tracker at buffalorumblings.com, tagged right at the top of the page. We'll be right back after this quick break with more of your questions on Buffalo Rumblings Q&A.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Over on Twitter, Sean Joyce asks us, I heard your podcast on free agency in the draft and wanted to ask, with some depth already at a few positions, does it make sense to keep some guys like Trent Murphy, Tyler Croft, Spencer Long, and TJ Yeldon to try to save some free agency ads to get a high compensatory pick next year? Well, Sean, I really like your question because it gives me a chance to talk about compensatory picks just a little bit. This year's actually been really weird because we don't have the compensatory picks released yet. Usually they're released right around the NFL Combine time, but because of the CBA negotiations, they've apparently put that off for a while, and we don't know what the compensatory picks are for this current year. Compensatory picks are awarded when teams have a net loss of free agents. Those free agents have to enter free agency without being released, and they only count based on how large of a contract they sign. So the only person from your list that would be entering free agency naturally would have been Spencer Long because he had a team option in his contract. Now, you asked this question before Long was re-optioned, I guess is the right way to say it. His contract was picked up for the 2020 season. He would have entered free agency as a free agent whose contract expired. Trent Murphy, Tyler Croft, and TJ Yeldon, the other three players that you mentioned, wouldn't be entering free agency on their own. They wouldn't be entering it naturally, so they wouldn't count in the compensatory pick formula, either for free agents lost or for free agents signed by other teams. It is interesting to note that OverTheCap.com, who has been the best tracker of Compensatory Picks says that this offseason, the compensatory pick formula was changed and that players with declined options may no longer account for the compensatory pick formula. So Spencer Long may not even count as far as that compensatory formula going forward. The last time the Bills received compensatory picks was in the 2016 NFL draft because of their 2015 offseason. Tyrod Taylor was their only notable addition to their roster, while Eric Pierce, C.J. Spiller, Lee Smith, and Denoris Searcy all were listed as departures. If you don't recall, Searcy got a really big contract from the Tennessee Titans, and Smith got a nice contract from the Oakland Raiders at the time, and the Bills were able to get some compensatory picks back in the formula. They were received a fourth-round pick for Searcy and a sixth-round pick for Smith, and that was back before you could trade compensatory picks. Those picks can be traded now where they weren't able to be traded before. I would expect the Bills to be in line for a compensatory pick or two heading into the 2021 draft. Jordan Phillips is going to probably sign a really nice contract. Shaq Lawson may sign a nice contract. The Bills have some free agents that could get paid elsewhere. Kevin Johnson, the cornerback, and Quentin Spain, the left guard, both would seem to play into the compensatory pick formula too. They'll both probably sign really nice contracts, and both are probably going to sign them somewhere else. Looking down the rest of the list, Frank Gore or Ladrian Waddle, Julian Stanford, none of them are going to sign contracts that are going to be large enough for the Bills to actually recoup anything from their signings somewhere else. But it also means that if we're counting that up, Shaq Lawson, Jordan Phillips, Kevin Johnson, Quentin Spain. So if you sign four big-time free agents or medium-time free agents within the compensatory pick window, that'll cancel out any of the contracts that those four Bills sign somewhere else in the compensatory pick formula. So the Bills are going to have to be judicious. If they're in line for a third or fourth round pick next year, do they really want to sign a guy this year that might be worth that? The Bills are going to add free agents, but they'll be close to probably that three, four, or five free agents that they sign, depending on where they go with, say, the offensive line or defensive end or defensive tackle. So Josh Norman does not count in the compensatory pick formula because he was released. I think I handled all the stuff with compensatory picks. One more thing about it. Any of the stuff that happens in the compensatory pick window is for next year's draft. I alluded to that earlier. The 2020 picks should already be announced by the time you hear this, maybe. And the 2021 picks are the ones we're talking about now because that extends past the 2020 NFL draft. Thanks for your question and letting me get up on my soapbox a little bit about compensatory draft picks. As far as what the Bills should do this offseason, I don't think they really need to focus in on compensatory picks at this point in time. They're still in a position where they're probably going to be signing more free agents than they're going to lose. For me, it's likely that they sign one free agent on the offensive line that's going to come from that compensatory pick formula. They may sign a linebacker from that compensatory pick formula, a pass rusher, say a Robert Quinn or, you know, Jadeveon Clowney, or that pie in the sky stuff. But you know, they sign one of those pass rushers and then they sign, defensive tackle or something like that. That's already four. And then they're donezo with their compensatory pick. So if they can keep it under three, if they can add an offensive lineman, a linebacker, and defensive end, then they'll still be in line for one compensatory pick based on where those guys sign, the four we talked about before, where they signed, because they were able to replace that cornerback slot with a non-compensatory pick player in Josh Norman. Like Norman, it's what makes guys that were released by their former teams, especially veterans, it makes them a little bit more valuable to the Bills because then they can kind of fit them in with the compensatory pick formula. A linebacker that was released by another team can come in for the Bills and not count towards that formula for the next season. So you can see how they can do some roster management that way and kind of piece it all together without going into the picks.
Thanks for your question again over at Rumblings Q&A on Twitter.
Back to Twitter, where Adam Vasquez asks us, would Cam Phillips be just another camp body at this point? Phillips has been playing really, really well in the XFL, just like he played really, really well in the preseason for the Buffalo Bills. He was one of the last roster cuts. in the end of August before the Bills moved on with their current roster. I don't know if he'd be a camp body. He's one of those depth guys. He's, you know, a practice squad player, a guy that can be at the very bottom of your roster or the very top of your callback list for guys that if a guy gets hurt, you know, you can give him a phone call and have him come back. But the Bills also have guys like Ray McLeod and, you know, other players that are like kind of right on that cusp too. If the Bills sign a free agent and add a guy in, say, the first round of the draft, then yeah, he probably would be a camp body. But are they going to bring back Isaiah McKenzie? I don't know. Are they going to be able to restock and, you know, and really put bodies into that wide receiver room that can make an impact in the NFL? I don't know. Is he ahead of Duke Williams? Probably not. So, I mean, just go based on, you know, who they have. If they've got Andre Roberts, who's going to be returning kicks and playing a little bit of wide receiver, they've got John Brown, they've got Cole Beasley, they've got Duke Williams. Those are four guys. Robert Foster's probably ahead of him because he was ahead of him when they made their roster cuts this year. If you add a wide receiver in free agency and a wide receiver in the draft, you're up to seven wide receivers. That's a lot of wide receivers that he's going to have to beat out for a shot at the roster. Even if they only add, say, one this offseason, still six wide receivers that he's going to have to beat that he wasn't able to beat out last year. So, I mean, the Bills are adding depth and adding depth and adding depth at a lot of positions, and wide receiver is one of them, of course. So I wouldn't rule it out, but he's not on the roster now. So they would have to sign him to a reserve future deal before somebody else does, I guess. I don't really know how the XFL contracts are working with NFL teams. Do they have to wait for the XFL season to be over to sign? I don't know how any of that's working. But for right now, yeah, he would be a camp body for the Buffalo Bills. Thanks for your question over on Twitter at RumblingsQ&A. Thanks for all your questions for this week's episode of Buffalo Rumblings Q&A. I think we've really set the table for free agency, especially talking about compensatory picks as in-depth as we did this week. Next week, the Bills are going to start agreeing to contracts with players. I'll have my reactions to that. Stick around the Buffalo Rumblings Podcast Network. We'll have breaking news coming into your feeds probably every day next week as the Bills sign players and probably release some players as well. Get your questions in for our show at 716-508-0405. Tweet, Instagram, Facebook, email buffalorumblings@sbnation.com. Go Bills.
Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes, and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/fox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.